want to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 2. If you're going to use a pew Bible this morning, Nehemiah chapter 2 is going to be on page 398 of the pew Bible. Nehemiah chapter 2. So we've been talking about building culture, what you and I can do to build a culture. And this morning we're going to focus in particular on assessing our particular situation, assessing whatever situation you and I may find ourselves into. Now today you hear, and you may have even done one of these at your workplace, something called a SWOT analysis, where you look at your strengths, you look at your weaknesses, you look at your opportunities, and you look at threats. And so sometimes people do that when they're looking at their particular company, when they're looking at their particular school or even ministry, or even looking at their homes. And so in many ways this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to look at your particular situation, where you're at in your life. Think about how your family situation may be. Think about what your own individual situation may be, your relationship with the Lord and so forth. Think about whatever it is that bothers you, where you're at. And as you think about what we're going to do this morning, and you think about this being Memorial Day weekend, there's a lot of ways we can see where our nation has done this across time. You might say that George Washington assessed his situation when he was there at Valley Forge. You may have even read the book that David McCullough wrote called 1776, and then people have talked about 1776 and 1777 being some dark and dreary times in this nation's history. And they've talked about how bad the situation was at Valley Forge. But in that particular setting, George Washington and his other leaders assess their situation. What do we have with the Continental Army? And you remember from your history books how they came together, they brought some German helpers to actually come in and help, and later the French would come along and help, and began to train some of the soldiers there at Valley Forge, and you saw the tide turn. But it started with an assessment. This is where we're at. This is what we're dealing with. You think about perhaps one of the worst days in our nation's history, the attack of December the 7th in 1941. And the very next day, President Roosevelt came and he appeared before Congress, and they declared war upon Japan and Germany. What he would do in the coming days, he would assess the situation that the United States was in. It was a bad situation, but he would assess it, they would look at it, and they made a plan. And you and I are here this morning and able to have freedom because that assessment was thorough and the plan worked. In our own history, most of you are old enough to remember September 11, 2001, and 2 days later, when President George W. Bush went to Ground Zero and stood on that rubble that day and gave that important speech. One of the things that our president and others did in the immediate aftermath of that attack was they assessed our situation. And sometimes I feel we've forgotten what it was like September the 12th, September the 13th. But we thought we would have many more attacks, many more things happening at malls and so forth. And we forget that they did a very thorough assessment of the situation that the United States was in and set up a plan that many people have attacked, but it kept us safe in many regards. And so as you think about it, that was because they did a thorough assessment. And so just like you can see our nation has done assessments across time, it's important for us to do assessments of our own situations and to think about it biblically. And so when we look here in Nehemiah chapter 2, we see an example of a situation where a man named Nehemiah did assess his situation, did assess his nation's situation, and he did something about it. And it led to great success. Nehemiah chapter 2, I'm going to ask you to start out there in verse 1 and notice what the Bible says. And it says, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine, I gave it to the king, And now I had not been sad in his presence. And the king said to me, why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart. Then I was very much afraid. I said to the king, let the king live forever. Why shouldn't my face be sad, when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruin, and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king said to me, what are you requesting? And so I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. So stop there. There was a bad situation. Nehemiah heard about it. Nehemiah was upset about it. And then Nehemiah ends up asking the king that he worked for to allow him to go and to do something about the situation. But he didn't truly know how bad the situation was yet. Shift down and look at verse 9. And it says, then I came to the governors of the province beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent with me officers of the army and horsemen. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servants heard this, it displeased them greatly that someone had come to seek the welfare of the people of Israel. So I went to Jerusalem, and I was there for 3 days. Then I arose in the night. I had a few men with me, and I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. So stop there. So you see what Nehemiah did was he assessed his situation. So when I read through the Bible, one of the things I tend to do is say, what is the timeless principle here? What is it that this meant for Nehemiah? What is it that it meant for the people that received this book the first time? What is it that this means for me? And what do I need to do today based on what I'm reading in this passage? So when I look at this, I see Nehemiah was a man in a very bad situation. And you go back and look closely at those words in Nehemiah 2, and he says, the king says to him, why is your face so sick? In other words, why is it that your face is so sad? You don't have appendicitis. You don't have a kidney stone. You don't seem to have the flu. Why are you looking in this particular way? And so he says, I'm upset because of what's happened to my country. I'm upset because what has happened to the city that I was in. Now, the next thing we notice is he's upset. But you also notice that there are people in the area that when they hear Nehemiah is about to do something about this situation, they're not too happy about him trying to address it. So let's say this morning you're dealing with a situation. Maybe you're in a situation with your family and it's not a good situation. Maybe you as an individual are in a situation where you're entangled in a particular sin. I don't know what it could be. But for the most part, you and I might be looking and saying, I would think anyone would want my family to succeed or would want me to be free from this addiction. I would think anyone would want my life to be different. And so as you're thinking about that, it's important to remember, no, not everyone. There are people out there who are actually working against us. And so as you see what Nehemiah is about to do, he's trying to build these walls. He's trying to protect the people of Israel. You would think that everyone would want that to happen. They would not want to be people that would be defenseless and so forth. But what you begin to realize is everyone was not happy about that. So it's important for you and I as we go forth and we live our lives to realize that Sanballat and Tobiah are all over the place. Sometimes there are people at your workplace. Sometimes there are people that are even in your own family. But there are people that the scripture describes in other places as scoffers. People that tear other folks down. People that are quick to tear down rather than build up. And actually, that's a way to know if you're dealing with Sanballat or Tobiah. Do they encourage or do they discourage? Do they build or do they destroy? And so you've got to remember, when you're trying to attack a problem, if you're dealing with a Sanballat or Tobiah, you don't want to tell them all your information. And you've got to remember that we truly are wrestling against flesh, or we truly are wrestling against spiritual enemies. This is described in Ephesians 6, where he says, look, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So we're not really fighting against people. It says we're fighting against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness. There's evil out there, and there's people that represent that evil, that try to stop people from doing what God has put them there to do. And so he's reminding us that we have this, and to know that this is something that you must deal with. We talk about praying the Psalms, and there's a Psalm chapter, Psalm 55, where the psalmist prays, destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues. Divide their tongues, for I see violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls, and iniquity and trouble are within it. Ruin is in the midst. Oppression and fraud do not depart from its marketplace. So the psalmist is saying, there are people, and he's saying, I'm dealing with them. And if you read that whole psalm, he even talks about how this was a person he thought was a friend to him. But he goes through and he talks about people that go around and try to create discord. They try to create trouble. And so in his prayer, he prays that God would actually destroy those particular people and to stop them and impede them from the progress that they're trying to make. And so as you look at the picture here that we're examining, we must remember there are people in this world that are evil. They may masquerade as light, as the devil does, but we have to realize that we don't tell those people what we intend to do, because then they will go on their own and do all they can to stop and try to impede our progress. It's a little bit about what's happening with Nehemiah as he's going through. The scripture says he did not tell anyone but the most trusted people what he was doing. Look at verse 11. I went to Jerusalem and I was there 3 days. I rose in the night and I had only a few men with me. And I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. And so as you're doing an assessment of your situation, you don't want to tell the enemy what you're doing. You know, I'm thinking about getting away and stopping using X substance. And you tell that to someone that wants you to continue to use that substance. Don't do that, because then they're going to do all they can to push your buttons and create trouble for you. Someone's in a situation where they're entangled in domestic violence. They're being abused. They've got to be careful who they would tell, you know, as they're trying to get out of that situation. And so that is what Nehemiah is saying. He's saying really to you and I to do so quietly. When you assess your situation, you're quiet about it. You don't tell everyone about it except your most trusted friends, your most trusted people that you can depend upon. You're quiet about what you do. Now, it is Memorial Day weekend, and so we tend to think about the past. And just think a little bit about what Roosevelt and Churchill did after December 7th, 1941. They got together secretly. You know about this. You know that Churchill did a trip, and it wasn't the kind of situation where you could quickly get across the ocean in those days. It took some time, but he disappeared from Parliament, did not appear at Parliament for some days, and appeared actually in Washington, D.C. There's a book, Doris Kearns Goodwin has written it, called No Ordinary Life, and it's kind of funny. She says that Roosevelt didn't tell really anyone that Churchill was coming, including Eleanor Roosevelt. And so he says to her, we're going to have 20 more guests coming tonight. And actually, Doris Goodwin talks about how she was pretty upset about that. One of the worst arguments they had, I think, in their 70-year marriage, because he did not say, you know, Churchill and 19 others are on their way over. This was because he knew you've got to keep these things very quiet, and we don't want the word to kind of get out and to kind of get around there. And so it shows the importance of taking information and keeping it quiet when you're trying to assess your situation to deal with whatever particular problem you may have. So when you go back and you look in the middle part of verse verse 12, Nehemiah says, I told no one what my God had put into my heart to do for Jerusalem. There are some things we tell people because we've got to get it out there. We're setting a goal and they'll hold us accountable. But there are some things that we don't, or there are some people we don't tell because they will try to put pitfalls in our way and stop us. And so he says, there was no animal that, he says, there was no animal with me but the one on which I rode. So I'm going through and he says, I'm doing this situation and there's really no fanfare about it. Then look there in verse 13. He says, I went out by night by the valley gate to the Dragon Spring and to the Dung Gate, and I inspected the walls of Jerusalem that were broken down and its gates that were destroyed by fire. What is he doing? He is thoroughly looking at his situation. Keep on reading and notice in verse 14, he says, I went to the fountain gate, to the king's pool, and there was no room for the animal that was under me to pass. And so he's talking about how bad the situation was, and he's showing us that he's thoroughly looking at what has happened there to them. He says in verse 15, then I went up by the valley and inspected the wall. Notice the word inspected. And I turned back and I entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone. This is him keeping it quiet, or what I was doing. And I had not yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, and the rest who were to do the work. And then I said to them, so let's stop right there. So just like Churchill sitting down with the generals and looking, okay, well, this is where the Germans are. This is where we might eventually invade, you know, Operation Overlord into France and so forth. Just like Roosevelt and just like even Stalin eventually, you know, they're putting all that together and they're mapping out their strategy. And so we can learn from this. Nehemiah is making a thorough examination of what the situation is like. And sometimes when we look at a situation that we're in or a problem that we have a tendency to say, well, you know, it's not all that bad. Or we have a tendency to not look at the full effect or just how bad the situation may be. That's not helpful to us. That is not helpful at all. Imagine if Roosevelt had said, well, you know, I think we'll hold the Philippines, or, you know, I don't think we have to worry about Australia. They could never get Australia. You know, it's too far down there. What if he had not looked at the gravity of the situation? Where might we be today? So one of the things we must do, as hard as it is, to thoroughly examine whatever the problem, whatever the entanglement may be. This is what it is. This is going to be hard. This is going to be bad. This is going to be difficult. But we must thoroughly examine and fill it out and see what we have. And notice what Nehemiah does in verse 17. Then I said to them, so after he knew the situation, then he said, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. So once Nehemiah understood the situation, then he went and he shared the results. Guys and gals, this is what we've got to do. This is where we're at. And so it might be like you're in a situation and there's a family member that is addicted to a particular substance. And so you go through and you try to figure out, well, how long have they been using the substance? Is it just that one substance or is it multiple substances? Where are they using this particular substance? What is it doing to their health? What is it doing to this? You know, and they're looking at every particular aspect. And so there's someone that's wanting to intervene and wanting to do something about it. They've examined it very thoroughly, and then they bring it to maybe that person's spouse or that person's siblings or any number of people, their friends, and then they say, well, this is what we've got, folks. This is the situation we're in. And then now let's go and let's do something about it. You can't fix a problem until you understand the problem. You can't do anything to move forward until you understand exactly where you're at, exactly where the situation is. And we live at a time where our culture just wants to overlook difficulties or say it's not that bad or it isn't that difficult. That's not helpful when we're trying to fix something or we're trying to overcome a particular situation. And so you notice Nehemiah told them, this is what it is. This is how it is. This is what we need to do. And so he says to these folks that day, so let's get up, let's arise, and let's build, and let's do something about it. In verse 18, he says to them, and I told them of the hand of my God that he had upon me for good, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. So stop right there. So he goes and he says, all right, this is bad, fellas. This is a bad situation. But notice he doesn't just say it's bad. Oops, what are we going to do? We're up here and we're in this bad situation. He immediately moves and says, God has laid it on my heart to do something about this. And so he immediately comes with them with a solution. And he says, so let's get busy. Let's get busy building this wall. Let's arise and let's build. Now, you and I need to do that as well. Anytime, it could be right now in your life. It could be some other time in your life. But you come together and you realize we've got to do something about a particular situation. You thoroughly assess it. Then you come together and you basically set up a plan and you gird yourself because you would think everyone would be for folks prospering and benefiting, but you gird them for the attacks that are about to come. And that's what happened. Look at verse 19. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite, servant in Geshem the Arab, heard of it, they jeered at us and despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king? And so they immediately began to make fun of them. They immediately began to attack them. And I know this is talking about a different nation, and I know how they were giving Israel trouble. But when I read that, it reminds me of someone that's addicted, for example, to a substance, or someone that's entangled in domestic violence. And they say, I'm getting out of this. And someone looking at them and jeering and laughing and saying, you'll never be able to stop this. You'll never be able to change. This is your lot in life. This is where you're at. That's these people. So there's Sanballat and Tobiah all around us. You're whatever the issue could be. It could be gossip. I mean, it could be any number of things. It could be stealing. It could be anything that can entangle you. There are people that want you to stay right there where you're at. And those are the Sanballats and Tobias, and you must be ready when they come back and they begin to attack you. When I read that, it also reminds me of what was she called, Tokyo Rose, and how she would broadcast those messages, and when the submarines would come up, they would sometimes hear them, and Marines and naval personnel out in the Pacific would hear Tokyo Rose talking, and they would hear that, and just like, you've got to realize, no, we've got a plan, we have leadership, we're going in this direction. And that's what our nation did when you think about World War II. And eventually you saw them signing, and you saw Germany surrender, and then later Japan surrender. And that's because they had their plan and they stuck with it. Back over here in the book of Nehemiah, look at what it says in verse 20. Then I replied, Nehemiah said, so he did not let this negativity, he did not let this jeering stand. I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper. God is going to take care of us. The God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. Guys, I don't care what Tokyo Rose says, or I don't care what this guy that's addicted to this and wants me to stay addicted says. I don't care. As for us, we're going to arise, and we are going to build. And then he goes on and says, and look, have no portion or right or claim in Jerusalem. These people have nothing to do with us. They have nothing to do with us. And so as you look at this, you and I are going to have times in our lives where we're going to have to assess a problem, we're going to have to assess a situation, and we're going to have to attack it. And this is the plan. This is the plan. And it worked. And one of the things we must realize, though, as we assess and as we arise and build, we must build our lives and we must build the situation upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that centuries after this incident, the Lord would one day tell a parable, and he would say, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." And so years later, the Lord Jesus would say, you're going to find yourself in situations, or you're going to find yourselves in problems. And what I'm saying to you is, just like a wise man does not build on a sandy foundation, he builds his house on a rock. I'm saying to you, the Lord Jesus said, when you take the Word of God, when you apply it to your situation, when you build upon that situation, you have assessed it and you are wise. And he says, look, if you hear these words of mine, and he says, if you don't do them, you're like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat against the house that fell, and great was the fall of it. And so what Jesus was saying is, you assess your situation, and you arise and you build, but you build on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're here this morning, and you're thinking about any number of issues that could be going on in your life. That's what we can do. This principle that we're looking at is, how do I apply it to the situation I'm in my life? Well, number one, I make sure that I assess it and I examine it. But number two, I make sure that I rise and build on the Lord Jesus, because anything I build that's not on Him as the foundation is going to come to nothing. It will not last. It will not be worth anything of any value. Your heads are bowed. Your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet there this morning, and I'm going to ask you to look at your life. Examine your life and ask yourself, what is it that needs to be different about my life this morning? What are the situations that I may find myself in? What is the sin, perhaps, that I find myself entangled in? You know what your situation is today. Why don't you go to the Lord and think about how this passage applies to whatever situations we may find ourselves in. Maybe this morning you commit to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to commit to doing a thorough assessment of my situation. I'm going to thoroughly examine my life. I'm going to thoroughly examine what is going on today. And so you pray that prayer this morning and ask God to help you to assess it. Now you ask the Lord also to help you to build upon the foundation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, please help me to follow you. Help me to build as you've called me to build. You know what I need. You know what you need to pray. We know what we need to pray. Pray it now, there where you stand, or if you prefer, come to this altar and pray it here.